Welcome to Tunnel Talk, a No Facts, All Feelings Wrestling Podcast. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah.
How's everybody doing this week?
It's hot out.
It's so fucking hot.
Pretty hot, yeah.
It's really fucking hot. It's how hot is it? Hey, guys, how hot is it where you are?
How hot is it? I think it's probably under 90 now because the sun's gone down, but it's 80. But, like, it's been, like, up in the 90s all week, and I can't stay.
I played tennis today, and at the end, my legs and arms were, like, little wet noodles.
Yeah. That's brave of you to do sport.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
And Anne shared a selfie of her new headband, which thrilled me.
I did. Thank you so much.
Immediately saved it to my phone.
Oh, Anne, would you like me in solidarity tonight to share a picture of myself in a similar headband situation that I've started wearing to wash my face at night?
Yes, I would love for you to share that. Yeah,
I'll share that.
That headband, when I came out of tennis, drenched in sweat. I could have wrung like probably a cup of water out of it.
Wow. Classy. And drunk it all up. Yum, yum.
So many electrolytes in there. Yeah.
That's good. That's good energy. Okay. Wrap it up. Leah, it's your week to share with us something that is making you happy. Are you ready to do so?
I'm so ready. The first thing I have to share happened approximately half an hour ago. My parents called me just before we recorded the pod. They are retired and they recently bought a beach house and they are out of control. They were like, we made margaritas, and we're like really out of it. And I said, I have to go. I'm recording my podcast. And my father said to me, Will you be talking about your friend Lazy Ginger George? I started crying almost immediately, and he was like, what is it? Lazy Ginger George, you know. And then he goes, Orange Cassidy. And I was like, yeah.
Wow.
I never am going to call him anything else. So that moment of happiness might sustain me to 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now, when my next.
Oh, you come back again? Yeah.
I think I might bring that up again.
Wow. That's lazy. Good.
Ginger George. But my real recommendation is one that all four of us are actually really, really obsessed with. And after we hung up with you guys, listeners, we got into a little Google in which we were Googling how to have dopamine.
Dopamine hacks is the Google.
How to feel happiness.
How to feel happiness with one simple hack is what we were looking into.
We were trying to, it's been a mix, but yeah, go on.
And we ended up finding an article in which someone suggested, what was it, a 3-minute cold shower every morning?
I believe Producer Marjorie
had
knowledge of this hack that had been given to her probably by some mental health care professional.
Well, there was a study where apparently a cold shower for 3 minutes raises your blood dopamine by 250% for 4 hours.
And I believe that we can all now vehemently say that that's true.
It's true.
Every day for a week now,
yeah,
we have been starting our day yelping.
An ice cold shower. We're ascetes now. Ascetes? I've never heard that word.
I only know how to say ascetic.
Yeah.
But I guess I would say ascete.
I guess, yeah.
We're ascetic women.
We're ascetic women. We're monks, basically.
Yeah. We're monks. Yeah. Well, we're nuns.
Yeah, I'm sure the nuns took ice cold showers too.
I hope they did, because Leah, you speak on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do I have to speak on?
Oh, I just thought I didn't want to jump on your thing and describe the feeling of cold showering instead of letting you do
it. Immediately my brain was like, about being a nun? I don't know that much about being a nun, actually. Like, and I just had this minute where I was like, she knows that I was raised Catholic, and she wants me to share the intricacies of being a nun, and I have nothing. I wasn't paying that much close attention. I don't know. They have the little clothes, I guess. Anyways.
They're big clothes, because they're wearing habits. They cover a lot of it. Sister Act is... I went to Catholic school too, actually, and we did have a lot of classes in the convent, but also so Sister Act.
I don't need to be the expert.
You don't need to tell me. I didn't explore their showers.
I didn't explore the showers. Using Explore there, really.
It wasn't good. It wasn't my best move.
But I think the cold shower thing is really working out for us. We all come out of there feeling like we've seen God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Speaking of nuns.
What I like is when you get in and you just, the first thing I'm saying every day now is, aha! And that gets me, you know, I'm just ready for anything after that.
Gets you going. You're awake. On like day two or three of the shower thing, like I woke up with really, really sore muscles and I was like, I got to take a hot shower because my muscles need that relaxation. And as soon as I got in there with the hot shower, I was like, this feels wrong. And I turned it all the way cold. That's who I am now. I'm a cold shower girl.
Once you've experienced that cold shower, you start to ask, like, why are we showering in hot water? Gross.
Perverted. And I have gotten where I'm like, I don't know if the all the way cold is cold enough. And I'm like, it's coming through the pipes colder in the ground and it's so hot outside. Like, I feel like I could go colder.
Wow. We're gonna start exploring new paths. We're all gonna end up like my brother in an ice bucket.
Yeah. I'm gonna be in an ice bucket so soon.
I did just watch a TikTok where someone had bought a basement freezer. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like a chest freezer. Mm-hmm. And that they were turning that into an ice bath where it's like they covered it in wood. And then they were like, now you might be wondering how we're going to keep it cold without turning it into one solid block of ice. We'll repost again with part two. And I said, well, bye. I'm not going to see that. So I don't know what they did with it, actually. But it seems like it's a DIY that, you know, if push came to shove, we could attempt it. Each of us with our own chest freezer in our separate cities.
I love that. So I've got a sauna in my basement. I could have a chest freezer full of cold water next to that sauna.
You could be living.
Yeah. You guys would all have to come visit.
Oh, fuck. I wish that was me.
Yeah. I really think that we are curing all of our mental health problems.
Yeah. With one simple hack.
Yeah. As healed girls.
I'd like for the temperature outside to come down just a little bit because it's so hot and nasty out this week that I'm not sleeping very well, even though I have air conditioning, like just very dysregulated. And so I still keep being like, I'm so sleepy this week. But I know it's not the cold showers doing that to me. It's other factors. The cold showers are the only thing keeping me going.
They wake you up, but it only lasts
4 hours, apparently.
I do see a scenario in which I start taking frequent cold showers.
Just like every 4 hours.
What, every 4 hours? I've been there.
8 a.m., noon, 4 p.m., 8 p.m.
My phone buzzes and I say, oh, it's time for the cold.
Back to the cold
shower. Taking it like medicinally, like a pill where you're like, oh, I gotta jump off this meeting so I can go take my cold shower for health purposes.
Q4H, baby.
Anyway,
I don't know how it's gonna hold up in the winter though. I'm curious how that's gonna do. I think we're gonna try it. I'm gonna keep doing it as long as I can.
As long as I experience the dopamine.
As long as I experience
when
the dopamine.
When I stop feeling
because I get
dopamine
in and I yelp, but I don't want to turn it up warmer. I want it cold.
You want that cold. Yeah. We have gotten, now a lot of people have followed us down this path in our group chat, and actually we've gotten a lot of really good reviews. So if you guys, if you guys try the cold shower dopamine hack, you let us know. And we could pivot the whole podcast towards this, honestly.
And if it didn't work for you, you can keep it to yourself. That's fine. Yeah.
Don't. If you want to reach out to us and say, hey, that's what you're experiencing is fake, that's okay. You don't have to.
Intense evangelists now, so you're really not going to sway us.
Have you guys tried telling people not in our group chat? Have you guys tried spreading?
No, them? I haven't.
I'll try that.
It's a very pleasant experience. I've been, I like contacted my real life friends. I like jumped into our Discord and said, hey, this is happening. And, you know, there's some instant uptake. I'm interested to know whether they're gonna try it out. But Sarah was interested. Liz was interested. Multiple people were.
Well, we got instant uptake from many people in our group chat as well.
Because we actually didn't tell anyone to do it. Yeah. We were just like, we're going to do it. And then, yeah, tons of people did it.
I wanted to know if you guys had tried it outside of the cult.
Not yet.
That's what I'm saying.
But I will.
I'm going to bring it into my other friend Slack and see what happens for sure. Yeah.
That's what I'm just saying. Spread it.
Yeah. I mentioned it to my mom today, and I did say the dopamine two and a half times the dopamine, and she was interested. Yeah.
See, this is what I'm saying.
I'm going to mention it to my parents. I'm calling my parents tomorrow. I'm going to mention it to them and see what they say. Wow.
Yeah. Do you think this is a normal wrestling podcast?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, we've been talking about cold showers like 20 minutes, 30.
I bet the wrestlers take lots of cold showers.
Those or men should. They've got ice taped to themselves. I'm sure they're in ice baths. Yeah.
10 minutes. Oh, yeah. 10 minutes. 10 minutes of talking about cold showers. That's
it's
not bad.
Too much. Yeah, but it is the only thing I care about anymore. So
it's kind of the only thing keeping us going. Okay. We will talk about the wrestling though, shall we? Yeah. Are you ready? In your hearts, your minds, your bodies.
Mm-hmm. Spirit. Okay. Yep.
Okay. We're going to start with the really, really, really fucking fun stuff. MJF and Adam Cole this week. Well, I guess it was actually last week. So we got a post-match interview from last week's episode. I don't know why I'm saying it this way. I'm really sorry.
And to think this is the least complicated of the segments you're going to have to explain.
Guys, the situation that I got myself into trying to put this schedule together was pretty dire. This week on Dynamite, we saw MJF and Adam Cole. They were talking to Renee just after the match that they filmed last week. MJF, clearly still a little defensive about what happened with the belt, and mad, cut a promo on FTR, and we can get into that in a minute. And then Adam Cole, clearly worried about MJF's demeanor, kind of took him by the shoulders and said, I need you to know how ardently I admire and respect.
That's right.
I need you to know how much I love you, how you're becoming one of my best friends. And MJF looked pretty moved by this. Huh? He was doing some real face acting, so we don't know what's going on behind the scenes. But he said that no matter what happens when they fight FTR this week, he will give Adam a rematch for the world title. At this point, Roderick Strong bursts onto the scene, furious, neck brace, howling at MJF. MJF is howling back at him. They're sniping. They're fighting. Adam Cole's trying to break him up. He sends MJF away. This is a great, I mean, this is rom-com movie. He's like, I'll be there in a minute. I have to talk to Roddy. And he says, Roddy, I love you like a brother, but you're being possessive and crazy. And I'm allowed to have other friends. You need to chill out and you need to respect my boundaries. Anyway, and then FDR cut some promos. We'll talk about that. Did you enjoy this segment?
I love so much how every time Adam Cole, he's like, I love you, Roddy. I love you like a brother. Like, he always adds it. It's so heartbreaking.
Digging that knife in.
It's so good because you just want to, like, I just want to score it. So it's like, I love you like a brother. You know what I mean? Like, it's so perfect.
Roddy's like, I love you too.
What you're doing is pushing me away.
Yeah.
Like, come on. If we wrote this as, like, a proposal for Tony, people would be like, you're over the top. This is never going to happen.
You can't do an actual love triangle in those words on wrestling TV between three men, but you can. They're showing us.
You need to trust me if you want to be mine. Hello?
Or do you have the transcript there?
Yeah, I'm looking at it. Yeah.
You need to trust me if you want to be mine?
Roddy, stop. Max. Please give me and Roddy a second. Roddy, you've got to be kidding me. I love you like a brother. I would do anything for you. But you are acting insane. You're acting crazy. What you're doing is pushing me away. I have other friends, Roddy. And you need to trust me if you want to be mine. I'm going to talk to Max.
Oh my God. It's kind of funny where it's like, of course, this is the best thing that's ever happened to me. But in a way, I'm like, I have so little to add. They're just doing it exactly right. Like, I'm like, right. Just keep at it, you know? Just like, never don't be doing this from now on. This is the only thing I want to see from now on.
This is it.
This is it. God.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. I know. And like, MJF looks so like touched by Adam Cole saying he was his friend for real, and he just looked like Adam Cole is going to be the one who turns on him, maybe, because MJF is like, he wants this so bad.
It was so good because when Adam Cole started talking, I think like MJF's like jaw was very clenched. Mm-hmm. He was braced for something it was awful to be mm-hmm. said. And as he realized that what Adam Cole was saying, you just saw he relaxed his jaw and he just looked softer in some way. Mm-hmm. And you're like, but you're touched.
You're touched. Yeah. But it was that expression too, where it's like, I don't want to let my guard down, but yeah. I do really like what I'm hearing. But also they're both so great. Cause it's like, you know, snake in the grass. Like, I think that they both could easily have it be like, that was on purpose, but it's also real. Like, they think mm-hmm. that they're in control of their emotions yeah. a lot more than they actually are, which is a great yeah. thing about those two characters. And one of the reasons that they are such a good fit is because yeah. when they turn on each other, it's not going to be like, oh, so that was fake. That doesn't add up. It's like, no, you guys just don't yeah. really know how to be.
Well, and they're both like so suspicious. It's like the thing with the belt where it's like MJF saw Adam Cole with it and was immediately like, oh God, here we go. You know, it's like, it's not going to take very much for them to think the other one is turning on them and then for them to preemptively turn yeah. too. So there's right. like so many ways you could do it that would be like spur of the moment, not planning. Absolutely.
Yeah. So the question now is when Tony will take this toy away from us. We got this toy in a Happy Meal. We didn't know it would be our favorite toy of all time. We love it. We never want to let go of it. And Tony's about to throw it in the trash, probably. Because he says it's just a shitty Grimace toy. You don't need this.
Yeah, I do. I need it. So this wasn't the plan. I'm getting you so bigger, better toys.
Yeah, no, that
no toy can be better.
That's absolutely, like, he bought us like a 2,000 piece Lego set. And we also got a Happy Meal. And we're so into the Happy Meal. And Tony's like, but don't you want to build the Empire State Building full of Legos? And we're like, no.
No,
we want to play with Grimace.
We want to play with Grimace. And it's like, he does just keep being like, guys, Grimace, he only cost a nickel. He's not worth anything. And we're like, don't say that about Grimace. I've had Grimace for 1 minute, but if anything happened to him, I would kill everyone in this room and then myself. Anyway, so Tony's going to take Grimace away from us, obviously. MJF and Adam Cole are fighting FTR next week. Do you guys want to unpack a little bit about the promos that we got from MJF and from FTR?
The fact that MJF gave a promo where he's like, Dax is always doing this, and then they cut to Dax and was like, I don't know what MJF was saying about us, but, and then he gave the exact promo.
MJF was like, you only give one promo, and Dax was like, fuck you. Here's the same promo again. Dax's delivery was like unhinged too. Like, he seems very gotten to. Like, everything was very like twitchy, and it was like, Dax, I don't think you're doing well mentally here.
They're going to be doing worse when they get booed, which they yeah. absolutely are.
They absolutely will.
When they beat Adam Cole and MJF, they're yeah. going to get booed. They're going to. Yeah.
And Dax already knows it because they kind of got booed yeah. already, and like, he is not coping no. at all.
But it's like, yeah, girl, you're going to get booed if you're the, like, literally pitching yourself as the fun police.
Yeah.
Like, you're just like, you guys are just, oh, you love having fun and you love doing little dances. Like, not on my watch, buddy. On my watch, we don't do fun. We don't fucking do fun. We do real fighting. We're going to do real shoot fighting and we're going to fuck you up. And it's just like, yeah, you're going to get booed for that under these circumstances. I don't know what to tell you. Like,
it's crazy. Well, and it's like, I don't know. The whole thing, well, obviously, everything, but to being like, yeah, we're tough guys and we're gonna do shoot fighting, it's like, but everyone knows about wrestling that it's fake, so isn't it better to be fun and do some flips and things that impress people than to pretend to be fighting when everyone knows you're not really fighting?
Yeah, he's convinced that wrestling is a merit sport, and it is not. It's just crazy because, like, I mean, I know that Swerve and Keith Lee are good people, so this would never happen. But, like, the fact that, like, Swerve and Keith Lee were, like, really incredibly chill about being like, yeah, we thought this was going to be, like, our tag run and we had, like, a yeah. whole thing planned. But the Acclaimed are really over. So, of course, yeah. like, that this has to happen. Like, at no honestly, point like, were they bitching Swerve about
and,
it.
Yeah, and Swerve and Keith Lee, it was great. And they would have had a great tag run. Like, I didn't want it taken away from them, except, like, it needed to.
It needed to. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's funny though, because it's like, at the time, that's when FTR were doing their thing where they were like, we're actually so over, so we should have the tag title. You know what I mean? It's just,
yeah,
these Dex fucking guys.
Someone's holding him down. And it's like, Dex, if you were fun for like even 1 minute, maybe.
Just maybe play it. Just play around a little. Like, if you played into this, there are a million ways that you could get, you can't be MJF and Adam Cole, but you can get some of MJF and Adam Cole's shine. Like Danny Garcia and Sammy Guevara knew that, where they're like, yeah, we're all going to do a thing together that like actually the crowd's going to end up loving all of us in this moment. Mm-hmm. I liked Sammy more at the end of that than I did at the beginning.
Absolutely.
Because I was like, you guys planned a really fucking fun segment and you all really committed to it. Mm-hmm. And that's great. That's what it's all about.
I mean, I'm so curious what their match is going to look like because the combination of those energies, especially with Dax like losing his mind, it's just like, what's that going to come out as?
I really don't know.
I don't know.
I mean, like, I know that they would never do this, and also they just wouldn't do it on Collision because it's the no fun, all serious show. But like, how easy it would have been if like Dax was willing to do a little dance? You know what I mean? Like, even half of the dance that like, you know, Sammy and Danny did, but like there's absolutely no chance he would ever play along. And it's like,
no,
this is like, I don't know.
It's like, especially, I literally just occurred to me because I was thinking about the Collision promos and I suddenly thought if he pretended he wasn't gonna play along kind of, but then they started blasting the Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting and then he did a dance to that and it's, and it would be, you know, I'm a collider and I'm celebrating, stupid, we all know this, but I'm celebrating being a collider and I'm doing a little dance for colliders. Right. That would be great.
He could even do a thing where it's like happening almost without him, where he's like looking horrified at himself. He can't help it because he's like into it. And Cash is doing like a little like, what are you doing? And he's like, I don't know. I just really love this song.
That'd be so charming.
It'd be so charming.
Or even, Leah, do you remember you said something on the Discord that has been like haunting me since you said it, where it was like, if FDR did this, they actually could do the humorless thing and turn it around. Do you remember when you were like, if he actually like talked about his vulnerabilities?
Oh yeah. Like just that, like if he, well, I don't think it would work right now against, cause it's too silly against Adam Cole, and maybe they could, but like the thing is like, I would just like Dax a lot more if he like managed to pull off a thing where he's like, yeah, like I'm really, really concerned with my legacy because I want to be the best tag team in this company. And I hold myself up against the Young Bucks and the Hardys and the Briscoes. And I'm worried that I don't have the legacy that they do. And that's why holding these belts are incredibly important to me. And that's why it freaking offends me to see them dancing out in the ring, because it's, they're making a joke out of something that's like incredibly important. But he would never be able to, because like you'd have to admit that you worry about these things in order to have that conversation. And he's unwilling to admit that there's a chance he's not the best tag team. So he never could.
It's like he's not emotionally aware enough at all. But like when you said it and it was like, oh, if he actually like pulled like an Eddie Kingston and went out there and said his actual like, I'm really worried that I'm not good enough. Like you could immediately pull me onto his side against like MJF and Adam Cole. But he...
I just know that he's not capable of it, but there is a world in which like he's like, listen, you can't, like they're making a joke out of the things that we all care about, like this is our company and we believe, you know what I mean, like he could pull something where you accidentally are like, yeah, like it's not a joke, you know, but like unfortunately he's not the person to do that, and MJF and Adam Cole are so like charismatic that you're like, it is a joke and it should be.
Exactly.
I think it's difficult. I was thinking about earlier today, I was thinking about how Dax should have responded to MJF doing that imitation of his promos and that everyone does. It's like, I love my wife, I love America. And I didn't really land on exactly what you should do, but I was like, well, the number one thing you have to do though is engage with it and be like, you don't like that I say these things, but I'm going to go one level deeper right now and be like, this is why I'm saying them, or this is where those things come from, or this is what they mean to me. You've got to dig in a little and be like, okay, I accept that you don't like that this is what I say, but I am saying there's a reason that this is my worldview or whatever. But he just did, he is not capable of engaging with things that other people say. He's so busy having a conversation with himself in his head that I think that's probably one of his biggest issues as a performer, is that he's never responding to what's happening in front of him. He's always responding to just his own insecurities, his own argument that he's having with people who aren't even present.
Yeah.
And it's really boring to watch.
Yeah. Well, and even he was like, oh, you're making fun of my accent, which I think I've heard him like get mad about before. So it's like a real trigger button for him, which actually like I, because I'm from the South, like I think it's really shitty when people make fun of like less prestigious accents basically.
Sure.
But it's like MJF wasn't even doing that. And it's just like, Dax, like, please take a deep breath and like try to look beyond yourself for five seconds.
Right. Yeah.
There is a like difference between making fun of someone's accent and doing a really good impression of them. You know?
Yes, yeah,
exactly.
And MJF really did do the latter. Can I ask one final question about this whole thing, which is if you guys were in charge, if you were doing the booking, what would you do with Roderick Strong going forward to capitalize on the fact that before this happened, we had no thoughts about Roderick Strong. We were like, most boring man in the world. Can't picture him. And now we're like, we love you, Roddy Strong. You're so pathetic. You're like, just
can we talk about how MJF called him
crying?
Yeah. MJF called him a default call, like, yeah, create a wrestler, which, like, A, it's like MJF is now into video games, and B, like, that's the funniest insult for Roderick Strong. Insult. Yeah.
And we're like, and then that's the best one. It's he's does now seem like he should be in an, you know, Mattel IP movie that's about the default caw. And it's and that the thing is just like he has no identity. He's Ken.
Adam Cole's everything. His body's just Ken. Okay. Tony, I know that you're listening. Can I please have a moment where Roddy Strong looks into the camera and says, am I Knuff? I need it so bad.
Or if he did a song, couldn't you? I would love to watch Roderick Strong do a little music video where he's just crying and talking about how he's done
enough. Stupid bitch from a creepy ex-girlfriend.
That's absolutely the lighting he needs, like that, yeah, dark with spotlight, yeah.
You ruined everything.
You stupid bitch. Okay, I gotta do that this week. I gotta do a little bit of that this weekend.
Oh, that'd be so good.
Okay, that's great, because there's a limited amount of footage that I'm using for this, so it's on. It's on. We'll get that to the listeners. Wow. Leah, round of applause. Well,
to answer the question you had, because you put this in the schedule and I was thinking about it, how I would, if I was in charge of the zoo, what I would do with Roddy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So do you remember after Jamie Hayter, or after Toni Storm lost the belt the first time, she had that promo where she was crying with no makeup. Okay. We start there. Roddy's alone in a room. He's hunched over. He's sobbing. Like there's...
I'm with you.
Okay. And then he picks up, you know, and he's like, look at whoever's, you know, it's probably fucking Alex Marvez is like, oh, you're going to recover. He's like, I just don't know. I don't know where I go from here. Okay. Then we have a series of like vignettes. Roddy Strong is just walking through the background of other people's interviews, looking so incredibly sad.
So good.
And just lonely. He just doesn't know where to go from here.
Can we get the the Peanuts music, the Michael Cera Peanuts music?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah, yeah. And then you get some sort of moment where like somebody is like, you've gotta get it together. And he's like, I don't know if I can. He was everything to me. No. You've gotta get it together. And then you start building a comeback where he's like, I don't need him. I can't be enough.
He probably like meets up with like the Dark Order, like Alex and John,
God,
who are like still upset that Adam Cole rejected them and wouldn't be their friend in public. And
oh my God,
they rehabilitate
him. Support group for wrestlers that have been recently dumped, and it's like the Dark Order, Hook, Roddy Strong. Like,
okay, that's fun.
That's very fun. They could have a little faction of dumped sad boys.
What I would like to see, as a one-off, to go with MJF and Adam Cole are going out to these bars and they're getting little promos about it. I'd love to just get a Bridget Jones's Diary all by myself promo for Roderick Strong, where he's just wasted in his house singing into a bar of chocolate. That's what I'd like.
Oh. And the thing is that like a month ago I would have said like, oh, I wish that they would do this. But now I'm kind of like, I don't know. They might.
They could. They might. Yeah. It's not nothing. Yeah.
God bless. I mean, this storyline has legs, so Tony's going to cut him out. So you can't have Grimace anymore, girls. Girls, you like Grimace too much.
I don't only play with like your Grimace. Legos.
We're the ones crying. We're having a full temper tantrum in the back of the minivan. He's like, Grimace, I'm sorry. We can't have Grimace anymore. You have Legos at home. We say, I only love Grimace.
At least we know that, like, Dave Meltzer and Brian Alvarez are in the back of the minivan crying with us.
Also, everyone agrees that Grimace is a much better toy. Come on. Obsessed. We're not going to go to sleep tonight. I'm going to be screaming all night, Tony.
I can't sleep without Grimace. I only love Grimace.
Oh, and the other thing I wanted to say is I've listened to the One Nation Radio episode for Blood and Guts, and mm-hmm. Rich Latta said, and it... like made me lose it. It was like, how many times are FTR going to hold the belt when they're not the most over team in the company? And I fucking lost it.
Every time.
They have the belts, someone else is more popular.
And do something interesting, FTR. Fix
it.
True.
It's like you could get yourself over, and they said, I won't. Okay. Let's move on to my Everest.
I think this is the part of the schedule where things got real weird.
Dynamite had many interconnecting storylines, which is great.
Yeah.
Our schedule this week has a lot of Allie talking to herself saying, I don't know where this should go. I think I'm going to move it.
Well, I started in one place. I sat there and I thought to myself, okay, we got a lot of interconnected storylines, which means we have a healthy, vibrant ecosystem, but it's a little bit of a challenge for me to know what information to present when so we can talk about it in a reasonable way. And I just kept having to move stuff in front of stuff I'd already written. So, but let's begin at let's start at the very beginning, which is a very good place to start. Okay, Orange Cassidy agreed to fight AR Fox on Dynamite for his belt as a favor to his good friend who's always been his friend, Darby Allin. They've always been friends. They've loved each other forever. So this was the opening match of Dynamite. Great match body-wise in terms of their body, their bodies and the way they interacted. I thought that was good. I liked that a lot. Yeah. Orange Cassidy won, and as he sometimes does, he offered AR Fox his sunglasses as a sign of respect. He said, no hard feelings. AR Fox takes the sunglasses. He's posing with OC. All seems well. And then he attacks him. So that is bad. And I seem to have written some stuff to myself here. Go on.
He broke those sunglasses. He smashed them in half behind OC's back.
He smashed sunglasses. Boy. Yeah. He
crumpled them.
He crumpled sunglasses. And so then he leaves the ring for Darby to yell at him. We'll get to that in a moment. Meanwhile, Mox also comes out and attacks OC because of something that we haven't talked about yet and that we will talk about in a moment because they've got beef now, Mox and OC. So, Henry, I say. Mox is mad at OC. Okay. Let's talk about AR Fox. We got a video package with Darby introducing AR Fox, who's been with us before, but kind of giving us some emotional information about him. Thoughts?
I thought it was really effective because, to be honest, like, I connect AR Fox with Top Flight now. And so I kind of, if I ever knew that he was close to Darby, I definitely forgot about it.
I don't think we did.
Yeah. I don't think so. That was very helpful to me to be like, oh, he's another one of Darby's exes / fathers.
Yeah. Like they, an ex father lover, if you will. Yeah.
No, they just definitely
an age
like
gap relationship. I think. his older brother lover.
I don't know how old AR Fox is actually.
I have no idea.
We know how old Darby is.
He can't be that much older than Darby. Yeah, like they definitely needed to do it because like the setup and the emotions with like Darby and him having this backstory is funny. But it was very funny to me when it started because it's like, are we just starting every week now with like a long video package where Darby talks about how much he loves a man?
I have a theory that I formulated just today where I remembered that Darby went to Collision and jobbed for Tony because no one on Collision will job. And then I kind of wondered if Darby was like, yeah, I'll go job on Collision, but I'm going to need to make quite a few video packages.
We're going to get AR Fox out here and I am going to do a video package.
Oh my God.
Although like on a more serious note, I actually did wonder if he was like, yeah, Tony, I could be your collision boy. I could do some stuff for you, but you're going to have to do some stuff for me. And the Seattle boys are going to be eating good this summer. They're going to be
Darby yeah. so if much.
He did that, yeah. That's genius. And why aren't any of our favorites doing that?
Like, I know. OC, you're bailing out doing things. Tony's getting bailed out by OC every other week. Like, get Dustin a singles match.
Honestly, I genuinely am like, that's genius. Multiple people should be like, what do you give me if I go over to Collision and lose a little bit?
OC can like do a little video package about how he and Chuck Taylor live together.
I'm just but the thing is that Darby considers that a reward. OC and Chuck would consider that a punishment.
Right, they're like, we've done a lot of work to really not be talking about that kind of stuff. I am just imagining backstage at Dynamite if there was like a board where it's like the going price for jobbing on Collision, where it's like people are just sharing freely information as we should in the workplace. We need to share what we're getting paid. They're sharing, this is what I got out of Tony recently for going to job on Collision. If you can think of something like around that price point, you could be in with a fighting chance.
The fact that everyone on Collision is like a troublemaker who refuses to lose, it's like, how does this ecosystem work if no one will lose?
It's so crazy how when you create a TV show around people with the worst personality, it turns out that like they're not so good at working together on account of their bad personalities. And we're all learning that together.
Yeah, I don't think any of us couldn't have predicted that. No,
it's an experiment.
It's wonderful to learn. We are all loving it.
A.R. Fox joined up with Swerve, though, so it really is like becoming like a Darby ex-boyfriend faction, which I am electrified by.
I do love that.
I'm really into it. I would be, and if I were I'd love to see a little promo where Darby is just like kind of horrified, where it's like, all my exes.
It's like get Ethan Page in there. Leah said in the group chat, like, add Ethan Page to the Mogul Embassy. Yeah.
Funny to do a version of the Evil Exes movie where instead of like having to fight all of the evil exes, they just unionize.
Yeah. What's the Reddit post? I'm a Dom and my subs
have unionized.
My ex-boyfriends have unionized is a nightmare scenario.
I do really, though, like, I would love, well, I could just go back and watch it and find this information out. I don't know why I'm acting like it's not available to me. What is the timeline between, like, did I not just see a video package where Darby was like, I didn't know how to wrestle, and then Buddy Wayne found me and he trained me on how to wrestle.
It was like last week, 2 weeks
ago. Yeah, I was homeless, and then he made me not homeless. And then this week, I saw a video package where Darby said, A.R. Fox taught me how to wrestle, and I was homeless, and he made me not homeless. So did he get, like, what part, like, what was the timeline on
I think
training?
It's such a good question. I think he's describing kind of a Maniac McGee situation where it's like when you're living in your car, people who like you are going to be like, maybe don't live in your car, just come live in my spare room. But when you have the kind of roaming spirit that Darby has, you're not going to stay in that spare room forever. You're going to get back in your car and you're going to end up in someone else's house.
He's an outdoor cat, and there are two families that think he's their cat.
That's right. It doesn't matter how intimately someone says to you, live with me. When you have a roaming spirit, you're going to go to your other cat family home through the other cat door. You're going to go through the other cat door and then through a different one, and cat doors everywhere.
I'm picturing like all of the indie guys like sitting in a room somewhere, and you're like, raise your hand if you think Darby lives with you.
He doesn't live with you. He lives with me. I leave bowls of milk out for him all the time.
I love that. I really, really love that. Like, he's my cat. Yeah. It's like, and so you all put out milk for him every night. He's eating good. Okay. A.R. Fox heel turn thoughts.
I thought it was so fucking funny for Darby to come out, see Mox beating the shit out of OC, turn his back on his friend, just to keep going, you embarrassed me. This shit is embarrassing. And I put my name out here and you embarrassed me.
It was what we've introduced a new dynamic into the world of AEW, which is angry mom and teen girl daughter.
I do think we're not having the you embarrass me conversation enough in wrestling. It's really Loved it. Yeah.
I was upset. And just the number of times that he just kept being like, you embarrass me. I spoke up for you. I gave my word for you. And OC, you're right, is just lying there rolling around in agony. Out. Like, and Derby's like, I don't have time for that. You go get in the car right now. We'll talk about this later. We're going to talk about this on the way home.
Sting and I are very disappointed in you.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I'm so pleased for Swerve to get A.R. Fox because the rest of his little minions are so stupid and boring.
And off-putting, so, yeah. Yeah. I'm really glad that we don't seem to be seeing Trench anymore.
Thank God. Trench is not on the roster anymore, I believe.
And Parker, whatever.
Yeah, Boudreaux.
Okay.
I keep calling him Parker Bowles, like he's Camilla Parker Bowles.
Okay. Nice. So let's get to the part where that actually happens. So where does it start, Allie? Where does it begin? Speaking of Darby.
Five lines down.
Last week on Rampage, so he won a shot at the TNT title in a big battle royale that came down to him, Brian Cage, Mogul Embassy, Swerve, Mogul Embassy, and Nick Wayne, little baby boy, Connor Kent. So Swerve eliminated Connor Kent, and then Darby eliminated Swerve, and then they were mad at each other about that. So this week on Dynamite, Darby fought Swerve with Nick Wayne and Prince Nana ringside. A mystery man interfered so that Swerve could get the win, and that mystery man, as you may have surmised from having watched Dynamite yourselves, was A.R. Fox, who is now in the Mogul Embassy. Okay, so, yeah. Did you guys like the match? Did you feel like we got enough setup for the match? Did you want more out of the match?
I like the match. I'm not dissing the match. I do think that AEW hasn't been good recently at, like, building like matches over time. Mm-hmm. Like they did for like the big feuds, like, you know, Mox and Hangman, they did great, obviously. Mm-hmm. But like when I think about how much effort they put into Darby versus Ethan and like how mm-hmm. long it took before we actually got that singles match, like I kind of wanted that for Darby and Swerve. And so it was mm-hmm. like it felt kind of abrupt to be like, oh, we're at the match already. Oh, okay. All right. Well, I guess that's happening. But at the same time, I kind of am not that mad because, like, Swerve got kind of backburnered, and now it feels like maybe they are building him up again, and that's cool. Mm-hmm. So, like, I'm mixed. Yeah. Like, I'm like, I think that they could have done Darby Swerve better, but at the same time, I'm happy. I'm happy if this means he's going to be front burnered.
Yeah. I think I do just really, I really want that... You know, the equivalent of that JR sit down interview where Ethan Page was like, "You chose conformity," or no, Ethan Page said, "You chose conformity." Ethan Page said something like, probably like, who knows? But so that's what I want, pretty much. Is it's I've made it really clear that that's what I love. But I do feel like I'm like, couldn't we get a package from Darby where he's like, "You never." Let me stay in your spare room or where Swerve just like I'm the only guy actually, who doesn't fall for your stupid routine and like
I came to your training school and you said, "Hey man, are you sleeping in my car in your car?" And I said, "Yeah." And then you walked away. You didn't say come live with me at all.
I came to your cat door and it was closed.
I don't know. I think we could have gotten a little more.
You bringing that up, it's like, oh, actually, JR being gone, I have not missed him on commentary, but I have missed his insane sit-downs with people where he gets them to say the most deranged emotional thing.
It was like the Barbara Walters thing where people are like, I don't know what it is. You sit down in front of Barbara Walters and all of a sudden you're like, yeah, my parents never loved me. Something about JR, for some reason they sat with JR and all of a sudden they were saying the most deranged, erotic shit at each other.
And then it was just made... like more deranged by contrast because JR would kind of be like, I didn't really expect you to say that. That's not something I would say.
Not really what I asked, but okay.
Well, I miss it.
That's what they should be doing that with Mark Henry more. Cause I do think Mark Henry could also pull it off where he'd be like, okay.
Have they permanently stopped doing the interviews on Rampage?
Eric Beeston seems to think so.
Why? Sometimes it made me kind of worried where I was like, do you know when people talking to each other anymore? Like, what's going on back there, Tony?
Crazy.
Because that was such a good setup. It worked really well.
People love saying it's time for the main event. I know.
He still says that, I think. Just no one gets to talk. They just do pre-tapes.
Yeah. That's so stupid.
I mean, those were pre-tapes too, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But.
Remember
when OC kept escaping his box to go into Mark's box?
Yeah. And when Eddie Kingston left his box to go beat someone up in the other box? Come on.
You can do so much box comedy, actually.
Tony, think of the box work. Where are we getting that these days on AEW television? Okay, I think we probably should just move on. Is there anything else that you really want to say about this whole deal? I think we're only going to get through this next section. I think that's it for us.
That's fair.
We spent a little too much time on cold showers, but we had to.
We'd be in trouble regardless. spent a little too much time talking about MJF and Adam Cole and Roderick Strong, but what the hell?
We had to do that, too.
We had to do that. We must have our fun. We had to fly right into Brian Cage's mouth. So here we are. It's crazy that Brian Cage is an actual guy, actually, on TV, whereas... Like, and now I am metaphor. Just like, he's just a mouth that means we're having fun despite the world around us. He's just a mouth.
A big mouth that we fly into in the Hindenburg.
So she's everything. He's just a mouth. Okay. All right. Where did I start talking about what's actually happening here? Okay. Last week at the ROH pay-per-view, it brings me no pleasure to have to recap this, but most of this information actually comes from friend of the pod, Sarah. Thank you so much, Sarah. I did look at a pay-per-view recap, and they didn't have any of the information I needed. So this is all based on what you said. Okay, so at the pay-per-view, Best Friends, Lucha Brothers, Aussie Open, and the Kingdom, I think, fought for the ROH tag titles, which the Luchas were holding. Aussie Open pinned Trent for the win, and so the Lucha Brothers, losing their titles, were mad. And they were mad at Trent, our little boy who stands with Dustin. So later at that same pay-per-view, Pac fought Claudio. Pac and Claudio mad at each other because of what happened at Blood and Guts. So after that, and then he won because I think Kazuta kind of interfered or distracted Pac. Bad boy stuff. And so afterwards, the Lucha Brothers came out to defend Pac because of they are in Death Triangle together. And then it was clown car stuff. Best Friends came out to beat up the Lucha Brothers because of their standoff earlier. OC came out to defend Best Friends, I think. And then he hit Pac, and then he almost hit Yuta, his literal biological son. But Claudio took the punch instead. This is interesting to me, but I don't have that much information about it because, again, I didn't watch it. So everyone's mad at each other. Then this week on Dynamite, the Lucha Brothers, Blackpool Combat Club, and Best Friends had a three-way tag because of being mad at each other. Pac ended up pinning Trent. Dustin did big jump. I skipped it for time, but then I went back because he did do a big jump, and it was really cute.
It was so really cute. Good.
It was a great jump.
The shrug before like, the okay, big jump.
Oh, let's do beautiful. A jump. It so was a really, man. And he does such an easy little jump where he's like, mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, sure, I'll do a little jump. Okay. And so then Pac pinned Trent. Everyone kept fighting. Orange Cassidy came out. Now, as you'll recall, earlier in the evening, Mox came out to attack Orange Cassidy after because of being mad about this ROH stuff. So now, in return, OC comes out and Christ in heaven. and so then he punches his biological son, Yuta, on the face. And then he's punching all kinds of people. Everyone's punching each other. Yuta's punching his father, Dustin. He's punching his father, Orange Cassidy. Everyone's getting punch, 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 punch. And then next week, Trent and Pac and Mox are going to fight each other. Do you think I did okay there?
I think yeah. So. Yeah.
Yeah, it could be worse.
I've actually found it a little educational, to be honest. That's right. That is what happened. That's why those things connect.
That is why those things. And you know what? We should reiterate. It is good to have interconnected stories like this.
It is.
But it was hard to know where to start because somehow, you know, things have to start somehow, somewhere, but somehow the snake always seemed to be eating itself. Anywhere I started, I thought, that's not the end of the snake.
It is so funny that last week we were trying to predict what the BCC would be doing after the Elite. Mm-hmm. And I don't think any of us imagined that it would be Mm-mm. best friends in Orange Cassidy.
No. I know. I'm so electrified. Even in our stupid fangirl, like, thinking, like, I never dreamed of it. So it's pretty exciting to have Mox having a little feud with them.
Eric Beeston on Bleacher is rip shit. He's so mad.
Really?
Yeah, he doesn't think OC is anywhere near Mox's level. Jesus.
Okay,
which I'm like, that's
insane.
The whole point of the international reign.
And of all the things about best friends to be upset about, is like OC isn't good enough. Like, okay, that's not.
It's like you
OC's
say,
not the problem.
You could say something that we've said on this podcast before, which is like they seem like they're coming from different TV shows because they're very different stylistically. You could, I don't agree with that. I think that they'll have a great match when inevitably they must fight. But you could say that. But you can't just, men love to just say he can't go. Okay, it don't mean anything, buddy. It's meaningless.
Yeah.
Sorry,
especially
not all men.
Especially when he spent like the last 3 months proving he can go, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like
can go.
He,
really
he goes a lot.
Honestly, like in this one too, it's like I knew there was no way he was going to lose to Aaron Fox, but I was still very tense in the match. And I usually am in OC matches, and I feel like he's doing whatever construction they do in matches to make them, make them good, make them on the edge of my seat. Yeah. So it's like everybody can just back off.
Yeah,
he's a
just
good wrestler.
He's a funny boy doesn't mean he can't wrestle.
I'm
it's good
very
to laugh.
Interested though, because you assume that like the ultimate of this whole thing is going to be Mox versus OC mm-hmm. for the belt, but like Mox beating OC, I mean OC beating Mox seems crazy. Like as much as I think that they'll have an absolute banger of a match, like I it seems wild that he would beat Mox, but mm-hmm. at the same time I'm like the last thing Mox needs is another belt.
Mox getting the international belt would be crazy.
Seems crazy. It seems like it would be a better fit for Yuta next, but like
Mox does love going to Japan, I think, so maybe there's that.
But I don't know if they would swerve to like OC Yuta. Like that wouldn't feel as big.
Well,
for, like,
it is certain
or whatever.
Yeah. But I think for All Out.
It's true. Well, and like Yuta could win the belt like at a non-pay-per-view type scenario too. You know, it's like, I don't know. You could have Yuta win the belt and then Mox and OC fight after that, even if you
I don't know. That sort of feels like it would be a little bit of a anticlimactic.
Wait, what did you suggest, Anne?
Oh, I just said like Yuta could win the belt like separately and even Mox and OC could fight after that for no belt.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think they'll do that. It's just...
Yeah. I'm not sure I know which way they're going, but I do feel like OC must want to fight. I mean, they've kept the Yuta thing going, so it's like they all want to put Yuta over. And I know that a father wants to fight his son. Come on.
So seeing all this is very exciting to be like, oh, there's a lot of like Yuta emotionality and happening, and they're doing little promos that mention it and stuff.
Yeah. I'm shocked. They've really kept it going. Good for them. Yeah. I don't really know exactly how they're gonna end up. The thing is, every time I try to think about it, I know I said it All Out as a joke, but every time I try to think about it, I just remember that they've got All In, then the next week they've got All Out, then it's like 2 weeks later, 1 week later, they've got Arthur Ashe.
Yeah.
See how that goes. But
it's crazy. I don't know why they didn't just get rid of All Out or one of them, you know?
I don't know. He couldn't, I think, because he had to appease Punk, I think, basically. He had to be like, I know you still need your special show in your special city.
If they structure it so All In is Dynamite and All Out is Collision, that would simplify my life a lot more. Because I'd be like, oh, great, I don't have to pay for that one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But that would be, I mean, and maybe that's what they'll do, but it's like trying to imagine a whole pay-per-view based on Collision when it's like Collision doesn't have that many people on it, so they kind of run a lot of their matches already, actually.
I mean, Miro can't squash someone for 3 hours.
Yeah, and then a pay-per-view, I mean, someone's got to lose every match. And actually on normal wrestling TV, too. Someone does have to lose every match. So,
and, you know, you can only give Darby so many video packages in exchange for losing.
Okay, here's the plan for All Out. Darby is fighting every match. He loses every match. And then for the next 2 months after that, Dynamite is full art films. It's only art films.
You know what? It would be worth it. It would be worth it. I would accept it. I would
okay, like, but you know what Darby could do too? Because he's a sweet boy, I think, backstage. I mean, I think he plays nice. He makes Darby-style art films for all the other wrestlers. So everyone gets a Darby art film. And that's now the next 2 months of Dynamite.
I want every Dynamite to open with a different person being spotlighted, and I want it to be like Jeff Jarrett, but done in a Darby Allin, like slow, like slightly, like filmy.
Oh my god! Honestly, Jeff Jarrett, like, still exists. Now that you've said it, like, it wouldn't surprise me if Darby had directed that little Hook art film that took place in the subway in the middle of last night.
I hope
I have to. I actually really enjoyed that. To be quite honest, it was so quick. I thought it was a normal advertisement for something, and then I realized it was Hook, and I was like, "This is crazy." And then it was over. I thought that was great. Great use of 30 seconds or whatever. No notes. Yeah. Enjoyable. He likes to be in the subway. Can't relate. Ooh. Any other thoughts about, we could maybe get one more thing in if unless we have some other thoughts about this and we can get into them.
I'm glad that the Elite get to be around for the 200th Dynamite.
Will they? So they'll be back next week, right?
Yeah. Like, they missed the 3 years. They'll be back.
You're little. They'll be back. We did. Yeah. We didn't really get any of them. They're all on vacation this week.
Hawaii.
At least Matt Jackson is. I love Matt Jackson on BTE this week. The only thing he wanted to talk about was going to Hawaii. Every other line out of Matt Jackson's mouth was just like, and we got to get through blood and guts because I'm going to Hawaii next week. I got to go on vacation. I'm going on vacation with my wife. I'm going on vacation with my wife to Hawaii.
The fact that we don't get beachside pictures of Matt Jackson.
So sick.
So bad.
It's so
like
sick.
A virgin Mai Tai in his hand. Hello?
In his little matching swimsuits with his family, all
oh
four
my
of
God.
Them.
You know that it happens.
I do.
I love you forever, Matt Jackson. You're my baby girl. You're my number one baby girl. Okay. Do you guys want to do one more topic?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah? Do you have a preference?
Hook. JB Hook.
JB Hook? Okay. I did love that. I do just want to say that Don Callis oil painting bit.
Yeah. It's that beautiful. The fact that woman constantly comes out with bangers, and then I think Don Callis like literally just has her on retainer at this point.
You know,
so funny.
Just thinking about like the text messages he must send her where he's like, can you do me and Tatesha's centaurs this week? And she's like, yeah, I got it. No problem.
I mean, it's nice work if you can get it.
Yeah.
Okay. So, JB came out to do one of his heel promos. What was he talking about? Oh, about how the FTW belt sucks ass. He was just like, this belt sucks, but I do have it.
Now I have it, so it's a big time.
So it's actually great.
He was wearing Taz's colors with the orange shorts and the
great.
And I beat Hook shirt. Come on.
Mm. And it was a great little, like, I'm a heel now, so I don't have to fucking try. Look.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you are trying really hard, and actually, you're doing amazing.
Yeah.
I think people are being really mean to him for some reason.
So mean. And I like people were acting like it was like a flaw in his gimmick, but I actually think it was really interesting that he kept trying to talk and then looking over at the crowd with like a little concerned face. And it was kind of like, guys, don't be mad at me. I'm trying to do something here. But like he was like, I mean, I'm making it even sound worse, but like I think it's interesting for him to be like, I'm trying to be bad, but you know I don't really like everybody being so mad at me about it.
Right. Like I it's someone who has lost control a little bit. Mm-hmm. They've had a little bit of a mental break because they just needed a belt so bad, and a lot of bad stuff happened to them this year, and they had to bury lots of dads, and they just didn't really have a good time. And now he's just like, but some part of him is still kind of like, I'm the good guy though. I'm the good guy.
Yeah.
Come on. You guys love singing my song. You used to love it. I'm
right,
a good
like
guy.
A little bit, like his vibe a little bit is like, I thought you guys would understand by now. Like, I can't believe that you guys don't understand why I had to do this, you know?
It's like when you're, you know, it's like someone is a teenager and they've gotten really, really cranky and grumpy and they're stomping around and their mom's saying like, don't do drugs. And they're saying like, I'll do drugs if I want to. They stomp off to their room, but then they pause a little because like some part of them is like, can you hug me and lock the door and not let me go do drugs. But yeah. then it's like the mom doesn't. So it's like, well, I guess I'm just going to sneak out my fucking window and go do drugs, I guess.
Yeah.
Because you don't love exactly me enough it. To stop me.
Yeah. That's exactly what his face is doing. And people are like, people are so mean about it. And I'm like, it's interesting. He's riveting yeah. right now. Leave him alone.
I think he's done a shockingly good. I would never have said even 2 months ago that he would mm-hmm. do this good a job. Mm.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, I guess people just are, it's like, yeah, he's not Christian Cage, but he's learned a lot from Christian
yes.
Cage.
Yes.
Yeah. Seriously.
Yeah.
People keep holding him up against like MJF. And I was like, that's not fair.
It's not fair. MJF is a natural born theater boy.
Yeah.
Jungle Boy like didn't talk until like a year ago. Like yeah. he's doing fantastic.
Yeah. Well, so then eventually Jerry Lynn came out and said, let's fight. I will fight you.
I didn't know Jerry Lynn was still, you know, like, fighting.
I don't condition. Think that he is, because the way it was advertised for next week was not that they will fight. It was like, well, maybe they're going to. But I thought the way that it was phrased when they showed it on screen was a little weird, where I was like, I don't think they're going to fight.
Well, yeah, I don't know that he can really fight. But like, it was weird that like he was like, Jerry Lynn came out and was like, whoa, 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 I can take a lot of things, but don't make fun of ECW. I mean,
yeah. Do you guys know even what the kind of, I was like, no, this is going way not. Over my head. I don't know what ECW entails.
I've certainly
projects.
Heard of it, and it's something, sure. something wrestling. The W of stands course. For wrestling, and the Eastern Conference Wrestling. And it's
probably what it is.
Basketball
yeah.
based, I believe. Basketball based wrestling. Yeah. I don't know. East Carolina Wrestling.
Extreme Championship Wrestling.
Okay, well.
Wrestling company God, names one, are so one out of
three. I'm going to call it East Carolina Wrestling from now on. Go Pirates.
I also was sort of like, I know who Jerry Lynn is because Chuck Taylor and Orange Cassidy never stopped talking about
it. Obsessed with him.
And because yeah. of that so one, because like, of that one, it was it Poppin' Dogs?
Yeah.
Where it's like, Orange Cassidy is just sitting there clearly like, I love sitting next to Jerry Lynn.
And he does that
he was
thing
doing
like,
a full like, that, was it Chris, that, so my question is, you're really cool. How cool are
yeah.
you?
Yeah. yeah. I think it was something comedian. Like, he was like, so you wrestled like this guy, this guy, this guy, and this guy. And Jerry Lynn's like, yeah. And he's like, how was that? And I was like, that was his question. But anyway,
Chris
so I was like,
Farley
so like,
is what
I know who
for.
Jerry Lynn is because of them. But like, I was like, does the casual like viewer know who Jerry Lynn is? Does everybody
okay.
know who Jerry Lynn
Leah,
is?
Leah, this is a big milestone. When you say as a wrestling podcast host, does the casual viewer know who Jerry Lynn is?
Probably everyone listening who's a lifelong fan of wrestling is like, yeah, from ECW.
Well, that was the thing. So I like, you know, my terrible husband, Eric Beeston said, Jungle Boy could not ask for more of a respected babyface and influential legend to work for him next week than Jerry Lynn, who will do whatever he can to put Perry over. And I was like, okay, so I guess he is like...
Yeah, but we can't be calling old men baby faces.
Enough.
Enough is enough. It's an old man. Old men are old men. That man takes
yeah.
cold showers. He's old.
Own the third gender old man. There are baby faces, there are heels, and there are old men.
Yeah, those are the three genders.
I'm
a gender essentialist. Everyone fits into a category.
I don't know about any of that. I don't know why it was happening. I don't know why it was happening. I guess it's fine that it's happening. It doesn't really make sense to me, but
no, it
Fine.
Doesn't make any sense, and I think that they could have
no.
done something else, but
yeah.
I was really happy about what was happening until Jerry Lynn came out, and I was like, I like Jerry Lynn, I just don't know
I'm just so
if
confused.
This is what needs to be happening right now.
Even when Jerry Lynn came out, I thought JB did a good job of doing his doing the little nervous heel thing of being like, when he said, well, obviously I'm not dressed to wrestle right now, and he's wearing just normal little sports basketball shorts, and Jerry Lynn is in jeans, and he's an old man. I was like, that's great. That's really funny. Oh, well, I'm not dressed to wrestle right now. Of course that's funny. I don't know. JP's doing good. People are really rough on him.
That
I don't know why. Mean. He's a good boy. Just be nice to him. It's not hard. Okay. Well, anything else to say? Yeah. Hey, anything else? Is there anything that you really wanted to talk about that we didn't talk about this week?
Somehow you left off the collision recap again.
Yeah, I did. This I'm like so that's an oversight. Yeah, I'm so sorry. That is an oversight. Well, we'll be getting into have an all collision episode. I think I said this last time. We'll have an all collision episode next week.
Well, we're all gonna watch the MJF Adam Cole match on Collision, right?
Well, I actually do have to.
I kind of feel like watch I might.
And I'm I actually do kind of. I am going to have to watch that, yeah.
Probably going to watch it.
That'll be the first time that I've tuned into Collision. Well, will I?
You're not going to watch it live, though, are you?
I don't know. I might.
Saturday night, so I can't.
You have plans. I don't. I think I have plans Friday, but not Saturday, so I might watch it. I'm not going to watch the whole show live, though. Maybe I'll watch Twitter to see when the match is coming on, and then if I'm not doing something more interesting, like if I'm not taking a cold shower right then yeah, maybe I will watch the match live.
It's 2 hours, right? It's got to be main eventing. And it's, yeah. Is it 8 to 10? Oh, I might watch it live, because I'll be home by then. I might watch it live.
Okay. Well, if we have
I'll watch it live if you're all...
A quorum.
Yeah, if we have a quorum.
Okay. So we love Collision. We're colliders. We'll probably be colliding this week. I can't... If I don't get to see that crowd boo Dax,
that's true.
Then I'll be mad. I'll turn off.
Those colliders better come through.
You better collide your hands together. No, wrong. Don't collide your hands together.
Collide your hands together for MJF and Adam Cole.
Yes, that's great. Yes, thank you, Anne. Teamwork, better together. Okay, on that note, I've been Allie.
I've been Anne.
And I've been Leah.
It's always Tunnel Talk. Our show is produced by Marjorie Voinovich. Our theme is by Chris Grorkin. You can find us on Twitter at Tunnel Talk Pod, Tumblr at Tunnel Talk Pod, via email at tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. And come back next week, all collision all the time.
Football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offering, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF-FOR Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.